I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway, and it's great to have you with us. And just a brief warning that this story includes graphic depictions of sexual violence and pornography. And pornography is one of the things that a lot of Americans don't talk about, but millions of adults watch it, especially with the proliferation of websites like Pornhub. And now a new investigation by Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times has revealed that Pornhub and some of its competitors have also hosted videos that feature child pornography, so-called revenge porn, and even rape. Pornhub has since removed millions of unverified videos from their popular site, and in a statement, among other changes, Pornhub said they would only allow videos from verified users to be uploaded. But questions remain about why and how the videos were there in the first place. Today on The Takeaway, we're going to talk about some of the most disturbing and challenging issues facing the porn industry today. Nicholas Kristof joins us now. Nick, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you.
In your piece, you wrote, and I want to make this, is an important distinction, that the issue is not pornography itself, but rape. Tell us more about that.
You know, there's a debate about porn, and I didn't want to go there. I mean, whatever one thinks about porn, I think there is consensus that children should not be depicted and that rapes should not be depicted. And so what I really focus on is child sexual abuse imagery, which is out of control on the web, on porn platforms, but frankly also on social media, and then issues of rape videos. Tanzina, when I was first debating whether or not to do this article, I was prowling the website, and some of the first things I found were videos of unconscious women being raped, and the rapist was touching their eyeballs to show that they were completely unresponsive. And, you know, that is just disgusting. I mean, whatever one thinks about porn, surely we can agree that those kinds of videos should not be uploaded in ways that prolong an assault and victimize these women over and over and over.
I want to talk a little bit about what is clearly disturbing here and so many of the things that you've raised in your piece. The number of images and videos that are related to child sexual exploitation have gone up dramatically in the past several years. In 2015, there were about 6.5 million images. In 2019, there were 69 million images. Nick, what does this say about us? And what does this say about the industry?
So I think a couple of things. One you alluded to that, you know, this is a hard subject to talk about. And one of the things that I think in journalism we note is that we always have the worst policy toward issues that are hard to confront, hard to talk about, you know, whether it's domestic violence or mental health or, frankly, anything to do with sex at all. And so I think that's part of the issue that because these are hard conversations to have and it's an icky subject, so we've tended to avoid regulating it the way we should. And the other is that there has been complete impunity on the part of the platforms. And so I think from the point of view of executives at any one platform, if they get, you know, as long as there are some people who want to see these images and as long as they can monetize them by putting advertising against them, then they're going to keep doing that as long as there are no consequences. And so a solution is going to have to involve, you know, not sensitivity training, but consequences.
We're going to talk a little bit about what Pornhub's response has been in just a moment. In your piece, Nick, you also talk about the role that these videos have also played in child trafficking. There's a woman you interviewed named Callie who says, quote, Pornhub became my trafficker. Tell us about her and other people like Callie.
So, there's this pattern of obviously young women are trafficked in the U.S. and in other countries. These days, everybody who rapes them has a cell phone, and invariably they then video record some of those assaults and then post them on Pornhub or Xvideos. And so what these young women say is that, you know, then their humiliation is extended indefinitely because they can never escape that past. These videos are there forever. And it's amplified because Pornhub in the past allowed downloads of these videos, so that even if the police later insisted upon the removal of some of these videos, then meanwhile, thousands and thousands of people had downloaded them and then were sharing them with each other and then re-uploading them to other sites. And so, I mean, one of the things that is helpful is that Pornhub has now stopped downloads. It's not perfect. There are still ways to download, but it's helpful.
So to that point, they Pornhub released a statement after your piece outlining some of the steps they're going to take, they say, to prevent this from happening. And they talked about only allowing properly identified users to be able to upload content, banning downloads, as you mentioned, and making, quote, key expansions to our moderation process. Nick, based on your reading of their statement, do you think that's enough?
So an awful lot depends on how these are implemented. And, you know, for example, an authorized user has become authorized in the past by simply putting their name on a piece of paper and showing it next to their face. And, you know, no real ID has been demanded. But that's certainly a step forward. The absence of downloads is real progress. And, you know, moderation, Pornhub has improved moderation over the last year, but they've tended to focus on American girls and young women because they're more likely to be litigious. And so there has been much less interest in actually, you know, cracking down on videos of Chinese women being raped or Indonesian women being raped. Or I talked to a Colombian woman who had videos on the site. And so I think, you know, I think that the issues that they talked about are really important. It's tremendous that they took down these videos that were not from verified users. But let's see how they actually implement it. And I've got to say, Tanzina, it's also, you know, we can't just go after one platform. That's unfair to it, and it's not terribly effective. There, in particular, there's a European-based company that owns Xvideos and xnxx.com, and you know, I hope that there will also be pressure on that company.
And one of the things, Nick, that worries me here is that with the increased proliferation of these videos, as we mentioned a couple of minutes ago, just almost tenfold across the web, I'm wondering whether or not this reflects how we are seeing the vulnerable, how we see women, how we see power in this. Like, why? I'm trying to get at why these videos have become so popular and why they're just proliferating all over the world.
Boy, that's a grim sociological question. I do think it has a lot to do with impunity, and that once companies find that they have a business model that can show, 17-year-olds being raped, then they go on and find similar impunity with 15-year-olds and so on. On X videos, I tried searching middle school, and it returned thousands of videos, and one of its suggested searches was elementary school. And that just, you know, boy, that just floored me. I think it's an escalation in exactly the wrong direction.
Nick, what has the government done, if anything, about this? I mean, we're talking about criminality, aren't we? Shouldn't the Department of Justice or local police departments or somebody be involved in this?
Yeah, so I sure think so. I think historically governments haven't gotten involved either in the U.S. or in other countries, again, because it's just an icky topic. And I think that is now changing, both on the criminal side and on the civil side. There, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which has provided a certain amount of immunity on the civil side to these platforms has been amended, and there's talk about further amendments, which should make it easier to allow civil suits that create some incentive for these companies to police themselves. So, for example, there's a suit now underway by women who had been secretly filmed in a changing room at a college, showering, and that video was placed on Pornhub. They're now suing the company, and if they win, Pornhub is going to be a lot more careful about those kinds of images. As for the criminal side, there is legislation that is now introduced in the U.S. and also seems to be on its way in Canada, where Pornhub is based, that would tighten regulation of these companies and presumably, you know, lead to some potential criminal liability.
And finally, Nick, the question here is how much these efforts will actually send a chill down the spine of the pornography, not just the industry, but those players who are putting up these types of videos, or whether these videos will go even further underground. What are your thoughts on the future of this here?
So, look, I don't think that porn is going to be eliminated, including the, you know, really outrageous videos. And so I'm sure some will go underground and some will go to the dark web. And it's going to be, you know, there is going to be a tendency for videos to migrate from platforms in countries like the U.S. or Canada, where there's more of a push to regulate, to Ukraine, to Belarus, etc. But I think that there are still ways to crack down, to regulate, to limit. We're not going to be eliminated, but to reduce the number of 14-year-olds who have their lives shattered because they have naked videos of themselves or rape videos of themselves that are placed on these sites and broadcast to the world in ways that humiliate them. And in many cases, as you know, I wrote, drive them to attempt suicide. You know, we can do better. We're not going to be perfect, but can we do better? Absolutely.
Well, let's see that if that actually manifests. Nick Kristof, thank you so much for your reporting. Nick Kristof is a columnist for the New York Times and the author of the recent investigation, The Children of Pornhub.
Thank you, Tanzina.
You can read the full Pornhub statement on our website at thetakeaway.org. And if you need help with issues of sexual abuse, the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673. And if you're having thoughts of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 to get help. We also wanted to get some thoughts on this topic from Cindy Gallup, who's the founder and CEO of Make Love Not Porn, which is a site that tries to make more conscious sex scenes available from verified users.
The problem is we all watch porn, we don't talk about it. Porn therefore exists in this parallel universe, in this shadowy other world. When you force an entire industry into the shadows and underground, you make it a lot easier for bad things to happen, and you make it very difficult for good things to happen.
Cindy's been on the show a couple times talking about sex work and how to make the industry better.
I think it's very important when people look at what is happening with Pornhub to differentiate between sex work and sex trafficking and appalling trade in rape videos. Those are two separate areas. And it's very important that legitimate, and by the way, legal, adult sex workers and adult entertainers do not find their livelihood at risk because of the absolutely appropriate moves to root out the appalling bad actors.
So part of the problem, Cindy says, is that Americans aren't good when it comes to talking about sex.
Our parents bring us up to have good manners, work ethic, sense of responsibility, accountability. Nobody ever brings us up to behave well in bed. But they should, because in bed, values like empathy, sensitivity, generosity, kindness, honesty, respect are as important as those values are in every other area of our lives where we're actively taught to exercise them. The only way that you end rape culture is by doing what I and Make Love Not Porn are attempting to do, which is embed in society and openly talked about, discussed, promoted, and very importantly, aspired to gold standard of what constitutes good sexual values and good sexual behavior. At Make Love Not Porn, we are socializing and normalizing good sexual values and behavior to get to a societal scenario where celebrating rape situations and enjoying posting rape videos on Pornhub is absolutely no longer behavior that anybody will condone. It is tremendously important to tackle this in the real world, not simply by censoring and blocking what turns up on Pornhub and on Facebook and many other platforms. And so first and foremost, the issue isn't porn, the issue is that we don't talk about sex in the real world. We have to do that openly and honestly. We have to encourage social standards of good sexual values and behavior to get everybody to understand how we should all be operating around sex.
Cindy Gallup is the founder and CEO of Make Love, Not Porn.